The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, this week on Inside Hollywood, we continue to look at the perfect movie.
Godfather, I don't know what to do.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you? Is this how you turned out of Hollywood, Pinocchio, that cries like a woman? What can I do? What can I do? What is that nonsense? Ridiculous. You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man. Come on. You look terrible. I want you to eat. I want you to rest well, and a month from now, this Hollywood big shot's gonna give you what you want.
It's too late. They start shooting in a week.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
The iconic line from The Godfather. I'm joined by Lisa Cannon, head of studio at DMG Media. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning. Well, this is a biggie to tackle because, of course, it's The Godfather, one of everyone's favourites, I think. Yeah. Nobody's not seen it, have they?
Well, there was Godfather 1, 2 and 3, and Godfather 1 is still, if you like it, the daddy of them all.
It is the daddy of them all. Godfather 2, considered probably one of the best sequels ever made. Now, of course, Francis Ford Coppola, sadly, is in hospital at the moment. He's not very well. He's 82. But one of the most important filmmakers and iconic filmmakers of cinema history. And in 1972, at only age 31, he made what we would call the perfect movie. And very few get that towering exception except for this one. But it's the sum of its artistry, I think, because it's the tension, the love, the violence and all the sacred rituals of family that are constantly undercut by brutality. I think it's a masterpiece. I think it's the definition of cinema, perfect cinema, masterpiece, but it's betrayal and loyalty that are in there too.
How did Francis Ford Coppola at the age of 31 get the gig?
Well, you see, the thing about Hollywood is they do like to take risks. Now, it didn't quite work out with Al Pacino in what I'm going to explain by that sentence, in the sense that they weren't sure that he was right for the job. Francis Ford Coppola was going to fire him multiple times. But I suppose because they wanted to go with somebody a little bit different. And at age only 31, they felt that maybe he could tackle, you know, elements like baptism and montage and Renaissance. His cinematic back catalogue wasn't large at the time. So to take a chance, take a punt on a young director was astounding, really.
Now, they go back in time in The Godfather, and there was pressure from the studio to make it in their own time in the 1970s.
That's right.
Because that would save on cars and stuff like that. You know, no props needed, just that the normal stuff that's there.
Yeah, absolutely. And these are funny things that people don't realise about making films, that obviously when you go into period dramas, it actually becomes incredibly expensive. And the studio just wanted to pull back like everybody does, you know, resource-wise when making productions. But of course, he stuck to his guns and went for it. Now, casting, as I mentioned there very briefly about Al Pacino. Al Pacino has always carried this with him, and he's always said in interviews that he was never the first choice. They wanted Robert Redford. They wanted several others at the time who were standout actors. But because he was a brilliant theatre actor and still is, they thought that he would work. And unfortunately, he was almost fired four times. Can you believe that? But when they saw certain scenes, I think they decided to have
changed. Now, the other casting decision, Marlon Brando as the Godfather,
Don Corleone. I mean, he was considered washed up at the time. Isn't that terrible to say?
And people thought when they saw him on screen that he was in such decrepit condition that this was Brando as he was currently. But that was just very good acting.
Very good acting. And he fought for the role. He auditioned several times and he actually stuffed the tissues in his cheeks, which of course is how he created that bulldog look for the performance, which of course is iconic. I mean, it really, there's so many scenes in it. I couldn't actually pick a lot of clips because they're just so violent and there's no talking in them. But the scenes like the horse's head and Michael's restaurant assassination or the baptism montage, I mean, they're not only kind of cinematic milestones, but they're cultural references.
The essence of great cinema, though, is that you let the pictures tell the story.
Indeed, you do.
And otherwise, you're talking about a play.
Exactly. I mean, there's many elements to this that people probably don't know. I mean, Coppola's vision combined with kind of the dusky cinematography kind of created this visual language that isn't and wasn't seen in crime films at the time. And Nino Rota's melancholic kind of score keeps the soul of the picture. And that's beautiful. I don't think you have The Godfather without the score. It's like Spielberg doesn't work without John Williams. You know, it won 3 Oscars, it won Best Picture. Of course, we've tackled it many times on this segment on Inside Hollywood, that Brando actually sent a Native American activist, Sasheen Littlefeather, to the ceremony to take the Oscar in his place. He refuted the Oscar and declined it. But the themes about The Godfather, it's all about family, and it resonates beyond, I think, that gangster genre, because that's what it's all about.
Did I read Mario Puzo's book upon which it's based? Because the book was out, they bought the rights, they made the movie. Yep. Then they, of course, the book came out again,
yes,
as it does after the movie. But I have a recollection that the movie is far better than the book.
I think it is one of those movies where, you know, it's about America and the immigrant's dream and about the Corleone family, but it's the paradox of the American dream. I think for me, I agree with you, I think the film in itself, it supersedes the book in a way. It's like a flawless poetry piece.
You have another clip you want to play for us. What's this one?
Yeah, no, there's so many to choose from, but I think everyone will recognize this. Have a listen.
What's the matter? What's bothering you? I'll handle it. I told you I can handle it. I'll handle it.
I knew that Santana was going to have to go through all this. And Fredo. Oh. Fredo was. Oh. And I never wanted this for you. I worked my whole life. I don't apologize to take care of my family. And I refused to be a fool. Dancing on the string, held by all those big shots. I don't apologize, that's my life, but I thought that. But when it was your time, that you would be the one to hold the strings. Senator Corleone. Governor Corleone. Something.
Another peasant of Vanta.
This wasn't enough time, Michael. Wasn't enough time.
We'll get there, Pop. We'll get there.
We'll get there. And that lilting music of Nino Rota in the background, which is such an essential part of the movie.
It really, really is. And I talked briefly about the cinematography. I mean, that really is part and parcel of why it's so beautifully crafted. This kind of sepia tones and the vignettes of it all. I mean, this was a period film. So we mentioned the costumes, the cars, everything was painstakingly created. And it was shot in New York and Sicily. But I think the Sicilian wedding was the paramount presence of why this movie was so beautiful, the authenticity that Francis Ford Coppola went to. I mean, at only 31, can you imagine?
Now we have
making
to,
a movie that
this
incredible.
Is a journey of an individual, which is the Corleone character played by Al Pacino,
yeah,
from someone returning back from the war, doesn't want to get involved in the family business, which is nefarious, mm-hmm, but ends up being ultimately the godfather himself. So it's a journey,
it's
watching
a
human change.
I think the arc of The Godfather is just the fact that it narrates a true character, and that doesn't always happen in cinema. And, you know, we mentioned Brando was considered washed up and, you know, at the time. But when you have the fusion of a young actor like Pacino, Brando, and then a brilliant, raw young director like Coppola, you get this epic kind of sweeping.
I mean, it's so beautiful in Sicily. I mean, just the cinematography is wonderful. You
it
can feel
wonderful.
The heat of Sicily as you watch the movie.
But jumps off there's
one
sure.
brilliant sequence, and it's intercut. And it's the baptism sequence.
Yeah, you know, this is studied in film school. I studied this in film school in Trinity. It's so incredibly crafted, not only the editing, but also the story in that baptism scene. If you are interested in movies, this is one that people teach because of it's the cross-cutting. And Michael kind of renounces Satan as his godchild's baptism while, you know, all the men are slaughtering his rivals. So it's kind of innocence meets violence side by side. Mm. It's very, very dark, but very beautiful at the same
time. Now, Pacino will forever be associated with this role. As you say, he almost didn't get it. And then when he got it, he was nearly fired several times. Pacino's been talking about this.
Yeah, Conan O'Brien sat down with him. The very few people that get to sit down with Al Pacino. I have interviewed him briefly on a red carpet. He's incredibly nice and funny and engaging and actually very humble, actually. Due to be a father again, I read yesterday at 82. But anyway, he often talks about the role, how, you know, at that time, being a young actor, he didn't really know what he was doing. He was doing his best. But when they looked at the rushes, they thought he was awful. The studio wanted him gone. Coppola sat him down in one of these old watering holes in New York and kind of said, look, kid, this isn't working out. But this is a lovely interview between Conan and himself recently enough. So have a listen. This is what he says about his role in the iconic film.
Well, he tells me, you know, I had faith in you. I believed in you. I said, yeah, I know. He says, well, you're not cutting it. I thought, oh, what do I do now? What do I say now? I said, well, I guess that would be a problem, I guess. I mean, so tell me, what do you mean? He says, well, I want to show you the rushes, meaning the footage that we had shot already and that I was going to see something. I said, well, can I have some of that hamburger? This retrospect, you know, I love to think what I would have, might have done or wanted to do. Yeah. And so I went to the Paramount theater that they had this screening, and I sat there. You know, I wasn't used to looking at myself on screen. I just didn't want to do that. I had done Panic in Needle Park already, so I was, I don't know if you've seen that film.
Right, and you'd had a little bit of experience, but not much.
Not much at all. That was my first film. Or a Patty Duke film. That's I had a couple of lines in. But I went and saw the rushes, and I'm looking at the screen, and I'm seeing the takes of different things. I'm thinking, well, that is not spectacular. But why should it be? Because I'm trying to see. I was hoping that I could blend in with the scenery and not be seen specifically or, you know, spotted and wow, you know.
Right.
I just wanted to just blend and just be natural. And I thought, well, I know that's the way it looks now, but that's part of what is going to turn into Michael Corleone. And that's going to be the impact, because where did this guy come from? And he's an enigmatic kind of character anyway throughout The Godfathers, one and two especially. I thought that was the way I was going to go. So of course I said to Francis, naturally the actor's instinct, I just said, yeah, I see what you mean. That always quiets everybody down.
Oh, wow. It's lovely. He's got a great voice. Of course, he's humble enough to say that, you know, maybe he wasn't great when he looked back at the rushes. But the pacing of the movie is exquisite. You know, it lets the story breathe. There's the long, the lingering shots. And then, of course, the build up to the climactic restaurant shooting.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
If you haven't seen it, you got to see it and then go to 2 and 3.
Exactly. There's a whole range you can enjoy.
One of my listeners says that the books are amazing and give way more context to the movies, so much more character development. The most I enjoy the movies was having read the books. So there
We are. We're wrong, Pat.
So. And there wouldn't have been Sopranos without The Godfather.
Oh, I love The Sopranos. Absolutely wonderful. I mean, every beat of that movie is perfection. So that's the perfect movie for this week.
Lisa Cannon, TV host and head of studio at DMG Media. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.